Hello and welcome to Radio Book Club on Big Cabbage Radio 89.7. I'm Judy Getty and I'll be hosting the show today as we discuss children and young adult books. My guest is Katie Schweissel from Palmer Public Library. Hello, Katie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is, I think, our fourth year doing this, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I love this month because I get to read lots of fun books and then, and we're talking about summer reading. So,
yes,
so it goes to, you know, just some of my favorite things. So tell us, first of all, about the summer reading program.
Yes, we start on June 5th. We have a theme this year, Build a Better World, and it's pulling in lots of gardening and construction and Lego sorts of themes for the little kids. And so we will run through July 27th, and we've got things lined up all summer long once again. It'll be friendly for all ages. It's always free. And I'd love to encourage everybody to check out pplak.org for all of our programming details.
And so this sounds a little bit like last summer. I remember that your thinking was that if you can have a kid who already has an interest, and then you kind of match them with a book or something that'll help them get do reading about something they're already loving.
Yes, we are trying. A lot of the kids will come in with already their interests in mind or things they enjoy doing. And so I'm grateful we have the options and there is enough diversity in the children's literature world where we can usually steer them towards something they enjoy. And for kids, we've been finding so much success with nonfiction. There's fantastic nonfiction out. And so pretty much if it's a new kid's nonfiction, we add it to our collection and make sure to spotlight it for any of the kids or their parents coming in.
So some of those themes or topics you've already mentioned, are those things that kids are saying that they have an interest in?
Yes. Yes, they'll come in. I just hosted several tours for different classrooms in the community coming into the library to get a look before their school libraries close for the summer. And so at the end of every tour, we have some free time. And that's where I am bombarded with questions and questions and questions of where are your... And there are books on everything, books on the Titanic, books on old war armor. That blew my mind. But we had books on it, so it all worked out. And then anything from really contemporary fiction that's coming out. But I love the kids' interests are varied. They're very passionate about it. They seem to already know quite a bit about what they're interested in. And so it's a fun challenge trying to find some books or materials that they haven't already seen somewhere else in their school library, at our library, so they can just find something they're looking for and keep their interest going.
And do you find that kids will say things like, well, why would I look in books? I can always just look online. I can Google it.
Thank goodness they haven't yet. Not that they've been coming in to look anything on the internet. So that's been great. They still seem to like that physical connection with being able to browse and touch in the books and just kind of have something in their hands. When they come in, and so thank goodness they are still very open to, we love it. We have our kids section cleared out right now, so they can just stretch out on the floor, and they do all over the place and just pore over books.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would think, too, that when, I mean, as an adult, I do this, and I would imagine kids probably do this, too, but when you read one book about something that you're interested in, there'll be some other facet in there or some little detail that now you want to pursue that, too.
Yes, they do. I love when they come in. They'll have their arms full. You're right. Some read-alikes or something their friend might have suggested. And it does kind of just keep growing and tail spinning into some other areas where they're very sharp and little mini experts running around on what they're interested in. So it's fun to just let them go.
That would be fun. Yeah, to hear those conversations. And so I think there's prizes, right, by how much they read and they come in and check in weekly.
Yes. Our feedback ranges all over the place, but what has remained consistent is the kids love prizes for reading. So we do that. We make them available. We draw prizes every week and give them away. We have grand prizes at the end of the summer for some different sorts of participation. But this year, we're really excited. Alaska Railroad's sponsoring train tickets again. So that's a really big gift that we're able to give away at the end of the summer is for two people to go on a train ride. For some of our younger participants, we have a detective kit that's put together where they would win a fingerprinting kit and a periscope and walkie-talkies and all these things to do a covert operations around their home. So if any of the things are being rooted through, they'll be able to get to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Masonic Lodge was very gracious again this year and generous and gave us another set of bikes for boys and girls with the helmets and locks and everything. That always goes over really well. We're excited to be able to give those away again.
So every week, do they get entered into that drawing that happens at the end? Is that how it works? Or
how it works, for our grand prizes, we do look at all the sheets that come back into us. We prefer to work with people who've been participating with us. So if we maybe get a participation sheet with just one or two things on it, we would enter them into our weekly prizes and some of the other summer prizes. But for our grand prizes, we really try to honor the people who have been hanging with us all summer and been in reading, been in visiting us. And so we target more of that kind of active crowd to draw names for our grand prizes.
Interesting. So it's not just luck. It's really effort and merit.
There is. Yeah. Yeah. It it does feel good to kind of give them their own special recognition for joining us all summer long. And I'm glad to say there aren't a shortage of names to draw from. A lot of families are very dedicated, so it's nice to have a large pool then and give away some really cool stuff.
And what's the ages that this is targeted to?
Let's see. We run an all-ages program. More of our weekly, reoccurring, kind of regularly scheduled things are geared toward the youngest patrons. So the story times are every week, and then every Thursday we have a guest come in. And that's geared for kind of the K through 5 crowd. And then we keep our participation pretty passive after that. So for teenagers and adults who'd like to be involved, we are running our geocache again this summer. And then there's also a reading challenge for people who prefer no interaction at all. They can read from the comfort of their homes, turn in their sheets, and still be eligible for all sorts of prizes.
Okay. So this is Judy Getty with Radio Book Club. I'm talking to Katie Schweisfall from Palmer Public Library. And I did want to say that the show is being pre-recorded, so we're not taking any calls today. So Katie and I had decided that one of the things we wanted to kind of look at this time was writers for adult fiction or adult books who are kind of dabbling in the young adult genre.
Yeah. We've been seeing a lot of that, and there's a lot of popularity of adults coming in and asking for perhaps authors they prefer who've happened to write for kids. And so it got us all kind of wondering at the library, what's going on?
Yeah. Oh, so that's how you heard about it first, that adults who were fans of a particular writer were looking for other books by this person, and it was their YA?
Yeah, and we'd be combing through book lists, books that have done really well in their pre-printed phase, and so then we get a heads up. These books are well, you want to get your orders in, and then noticing it was James Patterson, so of course James Patterson, new book, of course we're going to buy it. And then you notice, like, hold on a second, this doesn't sound like a typical James Patterson book, and to find out, well, it's not. It was written for kids. Uh-huh. And so it seems to be catching on, and it's definitely getting the attention I think he and his publishers were probably looking for too.
Well, and so you and I were talking about this a little bit, and it's what's the motivation there? Why would these adult or writers for adults move into, you know, that genre?
It was fun reading through their interviews. There's a lot of information that came out, and it also was very noble too, where they noticed James Patterson mentioned in his own home his 8-year-old didn't like reading. Well, I gotta fix that. So I'll write stories for you. And that's how that started. And John Grisham just said something along the lines where it just broke his heart that kids didn't care to read. And he was snagged into Mark Twain as a young reader, and just kind of wanted to provide that experience for other kids, to give them something that they loved that wasn't watered down and talking down to them as kids. And so he was trying to fill the void in that way.
So, I mean, you're making it sound like that's pretty altruistic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe that's some of it. But you also have to wonder, I mean, this has to be a moneymaker for them, that, you know, if their parents or adults in their lives read these writers, now they see books that are directed at kids or young adults, that's a whole nother market.
Yeah, I'm glad that subject was addressed in a little bit of the interviews I was reading, where one of the authors mentioned, well, of course, you know, there's that. And he had gone into the subject of then also kind of snagging lifelong readers. So when they age out of the children's material, wouldn't you know, there's a huge pool of adult material to choose from as well. So something I never thought about that. It was pretty interesting in hindsight. Very, very clever.
Right. Yes. And, you know, it's interesting what you said about Grisham, because I thought, well, I'll do a little bit of research. And later on in today's show, Katie and I are going to talk about one of Grisham's books, Theodore Boone, Kid Lawyer. And one of the reviews that I read about the book, because they did talk about how it was super important for these writers not to talk down to kids.
Yeah.
And so the reviewer of Grisham's book said he broke that rule so many times.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll talk about that book specifically, but that is certainly a huge piece of it, not to, you know, not to insult the children's intelligence by talking down to them.
I thought that was an interesting point he made. Grisham seems really open to editing and reworking his stories. And so some of the initial feedback was, well, you can't say these words in kids' books. So great work in the idea you're trying to, but you can't use these words.
And specific vocabulary or?
Yes. The main character in his first draft had just been sitting through a rape trial. And so that's where the editor's like, no. You can't have a 13-year-old sitting through a rape trial. So change the trial, whatever he's sitting through. So he toned down the suspense, the kind of physical threat that the main character was experienced, for the editors to come back and say, hold on, leave that in there. We want that in there, but just avoid these terms is all. So work it in. So the challenge to still deliver that thrill and suspense, not be condescending, but then still be sensitive to what kids may or may not be aware of at that age. And so that sounds very challenging.
Yes, it does. Yes. Yeah. Writing for a different population. So before you and I get started talking about some of the books we read, I'd like to get in one of our guests. I think we'll bring in Maddie and hear from her.
Perfect.
Okay, call her in.
All right.
Get out.
I did it.
Yeah, we're really like double doors.
Noisy out there. All right.
How are you?
Good. Looking forward to Memorial Day weekend.
Why?
We're going to be closed Monday.
Oh.
For the 3-day weekend. That'll be cool.
Yeah. You've been putting in a lot of hours?
Yeah. Well, normal number.
Just regular? It's right there.
Okay, once you sit right here, you just shut the door. There you go. I'll get this one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Trick.
Special trick.
I don't know, any of these questions strike you as?
I thought they're so intimidating. Shoot, I've got them out in the other room there. They're so intimidating, but they're good questions, though.
Well, we just ask them in general. Are you intimidated?
Yeah.
So you want to talk real close to the microphone? Yeah. Thanks, Maddie.
Okay. In a moment, we'll start.
Now I'm glad we're pre-recording. We can be unorganized.
Oh, I love it. That's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, so Maddie, welcome to the Radio Book Club show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're anxious to hear about what you're reading. You want to tell us, first of all, how old you are and what grade you're in?
I'm going into 7th, and I'll be turning 12 next week.
Okay. So would you say you've been a lifelong reader already?
I didn't start reading till 5th grade.
Okay. Was there something in particular that like it got you excited about reading and so that's why you started?
I got a book series middle school for Christmas in 5th grade, and I read that series and it got me into reading because it was very interesting.
Oh, good.
Can I interject that middle school is written by James Patterson?
Okay. Just what we were talking about, those
yes.
Adult writers.
Yeah.
So what was it about that series that you liked?
I was going into middle school next year, so gave me somewhat of an idea what it was supposed to be like, and it was extremely funny.
Okay, and so then you went to middle school and you'd read the book. Did you find that what he had written was pretty accurate for what you experienced?
Close.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, some of the trouble that adult writers can have is that they'll miss the boat when it comes to what children's experiences are, what young people's experiences are. So I'm glad to hear that it was close. So is there something that you are reading right now, or are you just finished reading?
At the current moment, I'm reading the second book of Trials of Apollo by Rick Randon.
That's another adult writer, isn't it? Is it Rick Riordan?
Oh, Riordan. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So what about that book do you like?
I've been fond of mythology, and he adds the Greek and Roman mythology into his books.
Okay. So have you done some reading in nonfiction books? I don't know if earlier Katie and I were talking about how, you know, at the library, there's a lot of books on nonfiction topics, and certainly doing more research on mythology is something you're interested in or not?
It is, because I have books filled with mythology stories at home, and I love reading them.
Okay. So there's what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that sparked your interest, and so you did more research, and then you started reading fiction about it. So when you read these books, do you think that they're more for boys or for girls, or do you feel that Riordan does a good job of telling a story that girls will like too?
They'll be good for people in general. They're not really boyish, but they're not really girlish.
Okay. So there's some adventures, but you like that part of it.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm just saying that because thinking in terms of mythology, I mean, there are, you know, females that were goddesses, but, you know, not as many certainly as the males. So can you tell us about a character that you've enjoyed following in the books?
One of the characters I enjoy is probably Leo, and I think her name is Castle.
Okay. And where do the books take place? Where's the story, the setting?
Normally they take place in one of the lower 48 states.
Oh, okay. And why do you think he sets them in the United States when they're about mythological characters?
Because in the story that the different mythological places, they move around the world, so they end up in different places. So at the current moment, they're in New York.
Because one of his books they made into a film, right? Is that the Percy Jackson, or is that a different?
It's Percy Jackson.
Okay, so that's where they kind of get kids interested, because then you get some history, but then it's also something you can relate to because it's, you know, things that you know about because it's in the United States.
Yep.
Okay. So do you have friends who read these same books that you have a chance to talk with them about them?
Not really. The majority of my friends aren't into books. So I'll talk to them about them, but they won't really be interested.
Mm-hmm. And do you try to get them interested in something? Or
I'll try to find books that might interest some of my friends, but I can get them to read sometimes, but not all the time.
Good for you. We need people who are messengers, right, Katie?
Yes.
Get the word out. Are you going to participate in the summer reading program at the library this summer?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, good to hear. So now that you're an avid reader, are those books considered directed at your age, or are those above your age?
I think they're directed for my age.
Okay. And then do you have parents or other people in your life, adults who recommend books, or?
Not really. I have some of my family that reads, but they don't live here.
Okay. All right. And so if you wanted to try to get somebody to read the books that you're enjoying, what would you tell them? What would you kind of say to sell that story?
I would probably tell them about some of the interesting things that happen and what it's mainly about and some of the characters.
Okay. Did anything from the stories come to mind right now, or?
Not at the moment.
Okay. It's kind of hard when you have a microphone in front of you, right? Okay, anything else you want to add? What you're reading or?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. All right. So, Katie, at the library, is that a pretty popular series?
Yes. The mythologies being reworked into modern day has been. So I was wanting to let your friends know to come on down and see us if they would like some more suggestions or anything similar to what you're reading. I was just looking here. It's Joanne Harris did a Rune Marks series for the youth crowd. And that one weaves Norse mythology into kids' literature. And so there's a few different series that'll touch on mythology weaving in a few different ways. And so if they are kind of curious or interested, bring them to the library with you and we'll get them all set up.
Well, I'm glad you said that because Joanne Harris is one of my favorite authors.
Yeah. I haven't read the Rune Marks. I just came by the information in researching other adult authors who write for youth. And so she came up. And so I would be very, very interested to read the first installment and figure out how she's weaving it in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another one that I like is Alice Huffman. And I know she also does young adult books. And of course, hers usually have that kind of magical element, not so much mythology, but just magical realism.
I think everyone likes that too. So that seems to go over really well at the library.
Well, it kind of goes along with mythology, right? It's sort of like the supernatural or things that, you know, people have these abilities that not everybody has, as normal human beings.
Yeah.
And you, for you, is that part of, I think, you know, what's interesting to you or makes the story more fun to read?
Yes, I do like the magical touches they add into things.
Okay. And, you know, other times when Katie and I have had talks about books that kids are reading, a lot of what we've seen are dystopic or, you know, end of the world kind of depressing things. But I would think that these maybe aren't in that category. I think they sound more hopeful. It's sort of like good overcomes evil.
Yes, some of his books will put the that if they don't do something in a certain amount of time, it will end the world or something. But they always in the end fix it so it doesn't happen.
Okay. So it's sort of like, oh, this exciting part. And so they need to do it. And then they come through.
Yeah.
Good triumphs. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, Maddie.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me.
Well, okay. We're going to bring Finn in and have him answer some questions. Thanks. And how old are you and what grade did you just finish?
I'm 10. I just finished fourth grade. So, yeah.
Okay. Yes. It's summer vacation, right?
Woohoo.
Yes. So have you been a reader, you know, a long time or you just started getting into books?
I've been reading since I was 3 or 4, maybe. Starting chapter books since I was 5.
So you've always.
Yeah.
Always.
I've been reading for a long time.
That's wonderful. So I'm sure your reading habits have changed. Can you tell us something that you've read lately or that you're reading and what it is?
I am reading Spaced Out by Stuart Gibbs. It's a really cool adventure. Do you want me to talk about it?
Yes, because I've never heard of it. So please tell me about it.
So it's a story about people who, this is in the future. It's like 2040 maybe. And people get sent up to the moon to live there. And they're living in a place called Moonbase Alpha. And the main character is Dashiell Gibson. He's a made-up character. And he finds out these mysteries with his new compadre, Kira. So, yeah, and right now he's trying to find the case of the missing Moonbase commander, which is a character called Nina Stack. So he's trying to find Nina.
So is Dashiell a kid?
Yes, he's a kid. He's 12, and okay. So is Kira.
Okay. So, and we've talked about this before, where it seems like when they write these books, the characters are usually kids or young people who have these adventures.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what do you like about that? Do you like things that talk about, you know, science fiction or the adventure part?
I like to see the characters and what they're doing and how, like, they are using their intellect to respond to this. And I like going along with the story and trying to figure it out for myself. Usually I get surprised by the answers.
So do you like that or do you think?
Yes, I like that. It's also pretty funny, so.
And I like that you said that because I've had periods in my life where I've read mysteries. I like reading mysteries, but I'm not the kind of person who's trying to figure it out.
Oh.
So, but I've heard other people talk about that they will be trying to solve the mystery as it goes along.
Well, mystery is my middle name. It's actually Finn. My full name is Elliot Finn Gagnon. But oh, okay. Yeah.
So you just added the mystery part. I like it. Okay. So I take it this is a series. There's probably other books.
I think there's only two right now. I think they might be coming out with a third book or already have come out with one.
Okay.
I haven't read that. I've read the first book, which is called Space Case, where he tries to figure out a murder mystery about a really well-liked character named, I forgot his name, but it was like, I'm just going to call him Dr. D because his last name started with a D, I think.
Okay. And so the other thing that that I see with these kinds of books is that there's a boy and then he's got a friend who's a girl, right?
Yes.
And do you think that they do that so that boys and girls will want to read these books?
I just think it was kind of a coincidence.
Okay.
But I think. So that's pretty cool.
Okay. Is this a series you've heard of, Katie?
No, I had to write it down to make sure I am aware of it after we leave today. Yes.
And does it have pictures?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
There's one thing I forgot to add. At the end of the first book, we are introduced to I just remembered the person who got killed is named Dr. Holtz. It's not Dr. D, it's Dr. Holtz.
Okay.
That
was spoiler alert, you know.
Dr. Holtz said he had found out something really important, and that really important thing was an alien had traveled through space to, and she can, her name is, she, her real name we don't know, and her real image we don't know, but we know that she wants to be called Zan Perphonic, and she can teleport her thoughts to another person.
Wow.
And so he got some help from his alien friend, Zan Perphonic, in finding Nina. I'm almost done with the book, so I know where Nina is.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. And so he sometimes gets frustrated because she doesn't tell him about herself because she doesn't think he's ready, but she asks a lot of questions about him.
Okay. Is it part of the book have to do with giving you information about different science things? Is that?
Well, they are trying to build a new base called MBB, Moonbase Beta, and they are doing, they have to rehydrate their food.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like the author Stuart Gibbs might be giving way to NASA about how they would transport people up there in the future. But otherwise,
and do you like
no,
that
I
part?
It,
I mean, do you like science? So for you, that's
yes, I like science.
Okay, and do you think that what the author is telling you is like real science? Do you look that up then to see if this is stuff that they've looked into?
I think it was more just for entertainment, not science, like education.
Okay, good point. All right. How do you pick the books that you read? Do people give them to you, or you just pick them up yourself?
This one, there were three books by Stuart Gibbs that a friend gave me, but usually my mom finds them out at a local library, and she says I have to try them out, and so I do.
Okay. Does she have some rule, like read 10 pages, and if you like it, you keep reading, or if you don't, you can put it down?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Usually not. Usually I decide for my own.
Okay. And is she pretty good at picking out books that you like?
Usually, yes.
She knows your taste, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it sounds like you like mysteries, you like some adventure.
Yes, I like mysteries, adventure, and comedy.
Okay, so you mentioned that it's funny, too.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, actually.
Okay. So given that, Katie, what would you recommend? Mystery, comedy, adventure?
Mystery, comedy, adventure. Maddie had mentioned the middle school series. That one's been really fun. For slightly younger readers, The Goddess Girls has been really fun. So weaving mythology back in to the primary school age mm-hmm. setting. And the Nancy Drew Diaries have been really great. And mm-hmm. then Boxcar Children are reissuing a series as well. And so that's forthcoming this year, which I think should have all three. Ah, yes.
And I brought one that I had read. It's called The Unintentional Adventures of the Bland Sisters by Kara LaRue. So I'm going to let
that sounds fun.
Finn, take a look at that, because that is an adventure and there's a little bit of a mystery and it is funny. I think your mom would even like it.
Yeah. There has been another book that I really, really liked. It was, unlike other books, then it was kind of some things I couldn't really understand. It's called The Mysterious Benedict Society. And okay. I think I would recommend it to other readers who like philosophy and a little bit of adventure and, like, figuring things out in the book step by step.
Okay. What about history? Do you like when things have a little bit of history in them, too, or?
Not so much, okay. No. I'm not really a history lover, but.
Good to know. Yes. Yeah. So it doesn't sound like you have any problems finding books you like.
No, I don't have any problems.
Okay. And are you going to participate in the reading program this summer?
My mom probably really wants me to, but I think I like reading on my own instead of going into an organization where they want me to read certain books.
Well, you can read what you want, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And there's prizes.
No requirements on it. That's true. Right.
So people are just tracking the books I've read?
You're welcome to track them if you'd like.
Okay.
But that's not required either.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll look into that.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us, Vin.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Book Club on Big Cabbage Radio 89.7. I'm Judy Getty and I'm here with Katie Schweissel from Palmer Public Library. We're talking about summer reading and we've been honored to have some young people come in and talk to us about what they're reading. And now we have Callum with us. So Callum, how old are you and what grade did you just finish?
I'm 15 and I've just finished freshman year.
Okay. So have you been a lifelong reader or is this something you've just started doing?
I have been reading for a long time.
Okay. So since you were like just started school or?
Since I was little.
Okay. So for a long time then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So one of the things that we wanted to kind of ask you about is, you know, there's a whole genre of writers in the young adult area, but you're kind of starting to transition to reading books written for adults.
Yes, I am.
And what? How did that come about? Why did you do that?
I guess I could say that my interests were shifting from little kids' books like fantasy and adventures to more older kids' books like romance and high school books.
Okay. And because of that transition, and Katie, I'm going to ask you about this too, because, you know, part of the reason I think that writers write for young adults is to avoid themes or topics or things that maybe aren't appropriate for younger writers or readers. So, for you, Callum, then, do your parents or somebody say, no, you can't read that. It's too old for you.
I'm in control of whatever I like to read.
Okay. Wow. All right. And Katie, do you have that experience in the library? If somebody young was going to check out a book that you might not think is appropriate? I mean, of course, we don't want to censor, but.
It's true. That gets to be a little bit of a sticky situation. Some parents are just very upfront and say, I read everything before my kids do. Here's what they want to read. So I'd like them, and they'll preview and read it, and then either pass them on or return them, whatever they decide. And then we have some who are so thrilled their kids are just reading at all. They almost don't care what they're reading. It's like, great, you're reading, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does kind of put us in a tricky spot sometimes when we're a small community. We see a lot of regular faces coming through, and so when you're aware that someone might have a family who prefers to be in on the reading loop and then they're there alone and you're not so sure, but
we prefer people settle that at home, I guess, okay, than at the checkout computers. So
you can't have that. I want it. I want it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
So it gets a little sticky, but thank goodness most families can resolve that on their own and just simply hand over books.
Oh yes, that's your job.
That's the fun part. Yeah.
So Callum, what are you currently reading?
I'm reading the Miss Peregrine series.
In which number are you on?
Number 3.
Okay.
So, Hollow City. No, not Hollow City. Library of Souls.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I remember reading all 3 of them too. And so what about them are you enjoying?
The fantasy feature and how it's a bunch of misfits, because I've also felt like a misfit all my life. And it's how they go on a bunch of adventures and how they have a fun time. Although when everything's looking bad in World War II, they're having a fun time on their adventures.
Because of that connection that they have with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, and so thanks for bringing that up about the misfit piece, because that is an important part of that story. But I think it's an important part of a lot of young adult and even children's fiction.
I think so. I think that's one reason we see some of the avid young readers we do is they see a part of themselves in the books they're checking out. And it does feel like home in a form of acceptance. And so for those reasons, too, it feels very, very good to put books in the hands of youth, because in some way they're finding themselves in these stories. And I think that's very meaningful.
Right. And Callum is certainly attesting to that. So another thing that I really like about Ransom Riggs' books is the first one, the pictures that he used.
Yes, the pictures are very good.
Mm-hmm. Did you read the series, Katie? Any of them?
I only read the first one.
Okay, but yeah. So it's a home for peculiar children. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so why did do you remember the story about why Riggs picked those photographs?
I do not remember, but I believe it had something to do with the time and why it was black and white.
He just sort of collected them. I understood that he found them in garage sales or you know old stores and things, and so he collected them, and then he started realizing how odd, you know, they
some of them were.
Yeah, and so decided to incorporate them into a story. Mm-hmm. So so you transitioned more to adult fiction. Are you noticing any difference in how the stories are presented?
There's a lot more explicit details.
Okay, interesting.
Mostly involving language.
And do you think you have a pretty good vocabulary? Do you have a hard time at all with any of the words that the writers use?
Once in a while, I may have to look up some words, but I understand most.
And that's a good thing, right? I mean, you want to build your vocabulary, so looking it up is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And is that something you encourage, I would imagine?
Yeah, it's great. I love it in my own home, and it's one reason I still enjoy reading with my 9-year-old, as I figure she's got a handle on most things, but to actually be together in that sense, then you get to explain, but then, like you said, it brings up other topics and tailspins and other things, and so I love the discussion with some of the things that we don't initially understand.
Right. So not necessarily just the vocabulary word, but even concepts or ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, and that gets to be a little tricky. I don't know if even when you're reading up in another age group where it can be a little difficult to rephrase, to grasp and understand, and enjoy the challenge. I think it's a good challenge.
So have you found that at all, Callum, where you're reading the book and there's an idea that you're thinking, this doesn't make sense to me, or I'd like to talk to somebody about this?
Once in a while I do, but my mother, she's very experienced with different ideas, and she helps me with those.
Oh, okay. And then you probably have other people you can talk to who've read the book.
Yes.
Okay. And do you find, like, in your friend group that these are also people who are reading books that are more directed towards adults?
Hardly any of my friends read.
No. Have you tried to get them to read?
Well, they read once in a while, but they don't read as much as me.
Okay. And like you said, you're a pretty avid reader, so... Mm-hmm. What about the kinds of books you read that were directed more towards young adults and teens, the type of book and now the type of adult fiction you're picking? Are they the same? Are they different?
I believe they're near the same, but yet they're also different in different categories.
Okay. And before you were reading, I think you like a lot of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fantasy.
Okay. And certainly Ransom Riggs' books are... Mm-hmm. Along that line. Any other adult writers that you've read lately?
James Patterson.
Okay, and we've been talking about him. So had you read some of his young adult or kids?
I've been reading
fiction?
A lot of his different books.
Okay, and now are you reading some of his adult books?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and why do you like him?
It's just his writing style. It's descriptive yet simple.
Okay. And so you can kind of put yourself there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you like the characters?
I enjoy the characters in his book also, and the setting, the theme, all of that, all of the basic book stuff.
Okay. And what about the endings? Do you like how they wrap things up?
Some of the endings on his books were pretty meh, I guess I could say, but they were pretty good.
Okay. So any recommendations for people out there who are listening about reading suggestions or...
Read what you like to do. If you like to knit, read about knitting. If you like to cook, read about cooking. If you like to be adventurous, read about being adventurous.
Okay, good advice. And that's kind of what Katie was telling us about the summer reading program. And I think you've worked the summer reading program.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Okay. For the past 3 years.
So are you planning on doing that again?
Yes.
Okay. And so when kids come in, do they ask you for suggestions or do you give ideas about what they might like?
I don't recall any times.
Oh, okay. Typically, they've already kind of got their ideas mm-hmm. about what they want to read, huh?
Or their mom chose them for them.
Okay. But and you spend some time sitting there reading, so you're modeling that reading is a good thing.
Yes.
Okay. Anything you want to ask or add, Katie?
Let's see. Did you have any other series that you really liked as crossovers? You mentioned the Peculiars.
I guess the How to Train Your Dragon series could be counted.
Good.
And you read The Maze Runner.
Yes, too, I did read those too.
Yeah. And I think you read, what are the other ones? The Allegiant.
Yes, the Divergent series.
Okay. See, those I have not read, so I'm not as well versed in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are more like adventure or mm-hmm. Futuristic kinds of things, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anything else you'd like to add, Callum?
No.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Okay. Judy Getty, and I'm here with Katie Schweisthal from Palmer Public Library. We had three pretty fun guests this morning.
They were great. It was really fun to hear why they read and what they enjoy reading. Yeah.
So do you think they're pretty representative of kids you see that come in the library or?
I think so. Yeah. Kids whose parents have expectations at home or they're already reading. So then they introduce that and have that already going on at home. Sounds like some kids who maybe don't read a lot at home or not a lot of readers at home, but have been introduced to a topic or a series they really love, so running with it. And then Callum, too, it's just been a lifelong thing he's always enjoyed. And so friends don't read, it sounds like, but he still enjoys it, so he comes back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I don't want to make them responsible for their friends, but at least they maybe promote or encourage or talk about the books they're reading, and so maybe hook their friends into it too. You know, we can hope, right?
So I was hoping it works the same way as like, oh, did you watch whatever TV show last night? Or like, oh, let me tell you about this really fun story I read. So I imagine that's how it plays out. I hope so anyway, where it's, you can't resist. It's fun. You got to read it.
Right. Yes. Because the kids have a lot of other things they can choose to do, but we certainly want them to remain active with books.
Yeah.
So you and I read a couple of books, and let's start with Jerry Spinelli, The Warden's Daughter.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've read other Spinelli books, but he's certainly prolific. He's written a lot for kids.
I had not read any of his other books, and so any time I have a question, I go online and start digging around to see what I can find. And so I loved how many young readers loved him. And so he seemed to have a very loyal audience who were thrilled that he had written another book, and it was really fun to just gather how popular he was amongst his fan base, but amongst youth.
And he's not a young guy anymore. So I guess that's the other thing that surprises me is how, because I like his books. I've read some of his others. And I like that I don't feel that the characters, which are kids, I feel that those characters are true to form.
This last book, is a female protagonist, 12 turning 13, and I thought he did a good job getting inside of her head. And
it was really interesting to read a book that was targeted toward younger kids, or at least that's where it is on the shelves. But then reading it as an adult at the same time, kind of wondering how different I might enjoy the book or how different I might be reading it if I were 12 or 13, if I was the age of the character versus being an adult.
Is this one you read aloud with one of your kids, or you just read this on your own?
No, I read this one on my own. I think she would have really enjoyed it. We just didn't happen to read this one together.
And because, you know, one of the things I think about too, and we asked Callum about this, is some of the themes. And so certainly in this book, the main character, her mother has died.
Right.
And death is a pretty heavy theme. And of course, there's kids out there that are dealing with that in their reality. So not that they shouldn't, you know, read about it or think about it, but certainly is a, you know, is a heavy theme.
It is. And I guess it hit home for me the multiple times a day and the several different ways where Cammy, the main character, felt very afflicted and upset about it. And it's something that hasn't crossed my mind before, but was great to get tuned in on, is the smallest things would seem to bring her back to losing her mom. And as an adult, I just thought it was heartbreaking. You could certainly understand why some of her behavior was coming out the way it was.
Right. I want to mention the setting too, because of course the book is called The Warden's Daughter. And so the setting, I think it's 1959, and Cammy lives in a prison where her father is the warden. And so that brings her a certain level of notoriety in her community because everybody knows about the warden's daughter. And she also has some, I think it was important that it's 1959, because I worked in a prison for 20 years and there's no way some of the things that she does would be allowed. But
yeah.
Her father allows her to go into the yard and visit with the female prisoners and that kind of thing. But I just thought, what a unique setting. I mean, I couldn't think of any other stories where, you know, it takes place mostly in a prison.
Yeah, I wanted to hear more about the building, too. We got to read about the tower and some of the different rooms she was in, but it all, I didn't realize either till doing a little research into the book that it's, the building's there. It's still there. So you can go visit next time you're out in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. I didn't look that up. So it was an actual place.
Yeah. Inspired by where the author had visited. And so that's kind of cool to know that you can go. You can go poke around.
Mm-hmm. So some of the other important things that I saw in there was Cammy's friendships.
Yeah. That was interesting to read. It was one thing where I was wondering if I would feel the same as a kid, as an adult, because it seems to make sense. She's hurting so much that she has some trouble in her relationships. But as a kid, I think I would just get frustrated at how she was treating her friends. She seems so mean, but when you understand the truth, it seems to make sense that she's acting the way she is because she's hurting.
And so I think that's just, you know, this would be a book that if you had a young reader reading it, it would be so important for that person to talk about some of these themes with an adult.
Yeah. I think that is a good one to check in on, because they are big themes. And I like how the author worked through it with the characters. But I think that would be really helpful for a young kid to be able to check in with mom or dad as they're reading it, and just to revisit a little bit, like you're saying, you just kind of check in and make sure everyone's understanding and digesting it okay.
And did you think, I mean, her dad is there, and of course he's at work all day long, but did you think the relationship between the dad and Cammy was believable?
I guess. I was a little disappointed by it, so I guess I would definitely call it believable, but at the same time, unbelievable. She didn't have a mom and he's gone all the time, so
mm-hmm.
What are you doing? And just kind of leaving her with whomever he trusted to look after her. And so in a way that seemed unbelievable to me, but like you say, kind of given the times and the circumstances, I bought it.
It's 1959, so it would be unusual maybe for a dad to be more hands-on. But yes, it doesn't seem like he has any meaningful conversations with her about what she's going through. And maybe he's at a loss. Maybe that's what we're supposed to get out of this, is that he doesn't know what to do.
That's what I was surprised to get toward the end of the book, where he eventually, like Cammy, and I was like, I knew what you were up to the whole time and just never said anything. What?
Maybe he was paying attention.
This young, she wasn't a teenager yet, doing what she was doing and misbehaving the way she was, that he just let it go. And I guess in the throes of her teens, that they had come together and seemed to have a really great relationship once she was able to kind of address her grief. That I thought was a bit of a stretch, that last little part there. But the earlier parts where he was kind of hands-off did seem to probably ring true for the times.
And we should just briefly mention the other main character, the trustee who's taking care of her.
Eloda, yeah. She was a background character, it seemed. Cammy loved her and desperately wanted her as a mother figure. And it seemed Eloda was more in the background than Cammy cared for her to be.
Well, I think that was kind of the unexpected part, because, you know, you've got this whole idea that Cammy is trying to put her in this role of a mother figure, but really she's a trustee who's been assigned to care for her. And then we come to find out that Eloda had elected to continue there and try to help Cammy through this rough time.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty, I wasn't sure what I thought of that either, as far as realistic goes, but it was touching that someone cared for her in that way and wanted to be there for her.
But then and drop out of sight. I mean, never to have contact again.
She sure did, didn't she?
So, you know, maybe that's kind of an odd part of it. But yeah, so Jerry Spinelli, I love him. I'm glad that he's still writing. I'm glad that kids are still dedicated to him, because I think his stories are wonderful.
Yeah.
So before we end for the day, I want to circle back to John Grisham. So this is Theodore Boone, Kid Lawyer, and I don't think I've read any other Grisham.
I don't think so. I've seen some movies. So it was his name on a kid's book that caught my attention. I didn't pay too much attention until I was at a library conference, and I said, all right, kids got to read it, and according to this person, that was the hot kids read. So I read it. And so I'm trying to think. I did enjoy the book. I enjoyed it because I was reading it with my daughter. I enjoyed that they brought some aspects of the law and the legal system to children and into your home, where it's really not in our home. So I appreciated some of the things, like you're saying, they're just some words or some kind of some concepts my daughter wasn't catching on to, so we could talk about it, and I really liked that. I haven't read the second one yet, though, so I'm still dying to know what happens to the witness there.
So earlier, before we were on the air, you mentioned that when Grisham was writing, you did say it on the air, about how he was asked to take out the word rape, that it wasn't a rape trial.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember in the story what Theodore had sat through before. What made it more appropriate for a children's book for him to have sat through. But yeah, that was something I thought was interesting to read through, was Grisham's publishers kind of giving him a set of guidelines. Can't talk about this, but yes, please delve into this sort of stuff and where the line lies with being appropriate and still interesting and funny and not condescending for kids.
And I guess the thing that I would be amazed at is because with the trial he sits in on the majority of the book, then, is a man accused of murdering his wife. So why is it okay, you know?
It seemed okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay that we can talk about a husband strangling his wife to death, but yeah, we can't talk about rape. Interesting. So one of the criticisms I read about the book is it's supposed to be in this small town.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody knows Theodore Boone. He's the child of two attorneys in town, and he's great friends with the judge. Boy, he just access anything, can't he? And, but at the same time, we've got, like, this population of immigrants. We've got, you know, so you're kind of trying to figure out what is this a small town, or, you know, it's got this big golf course. It's got these gated communities.
Yeah, that was a little confusing. And he's on his bike all the time, so I was wondering, like, how many miles are you putting on all the time? Biking all over town to talk to people or meet up with people who have information. And so, yeah, you're right. I was a little confused, too. I wanted to know where. I suppose it's all fiction, but I was kind of dying to know, where is this town?
It was kind of funny. One of the other critiques that I found was that at one point he's in the eighth grade, and he's saying something about girls, and he's saying nobody he knows is interested in girls. And so the reviewer says, she didn't know who Grisham was hanging out with, but
yeah,
most eighth graders seem to be interested in the, you know.
You know, that's funny. I was just reading an interview he gave before coming over here today, and his own children's, John Grisham's own children both called him out. Dad, how can you have a young 13-year-old boy in the story? And there's no sort of romantic interests going on at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both kind of blew him up a little bit over that. He missed that one.
And I mean, I was okay. I mean, 13, it's not that that romance has to be a big part of it. And he's got a friend, April, and I didn't think that was necessarily a romantic relationship. But then later on, he helps out another girl in the book. And then suddenly that's supposed to be some kind of romantic possibility.
Yeah, she had some sort. Yeah, I forget what her conflict was at home, and so yeah, was looking.
No, her dog was picked up.
Oh, needed to get her dog from the pound. Is that what was going on? Yeah,
that was the legal advice he gave her how to get her dog out.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I'm really curious to know if April comes back in the other books in the series, because I was kind of wondering what her role in the book was then. I was wondering at the time. She just kind of seems to come in and out.
Well, in the back of my edition, chapter one of the next book is provided, and it's the abduction of April Fenimore took place.
She's back.
That's the next mystery. And so I'm thinking that what Grisham has done is, I think there's several of these books. I think Theodore Boone becomes a whole nother series for him. And I think that probably the ends are always left a little bit dangling to get you into the next one, because this one is not resolved.
It's not. That didn't bother me, I guess. We get kind of used to cliffhangers, but it definitely bothered my daughter, where she's just bothered now. Bothered with Theodore Boone. But yeah, I thought it was a great introduction for her.
Enough to want her to read the next one so she can see if it's resolved?
I think so. She's got a pretty long reading list. It's pretty impressive. So we'll see what we can do.
Okay. So I want to thank you, Katie, for joining us and talking about the summer reading program again.
Thank you.
And I was so glad that we got to have Callum and Maddie and Finn with us, and we got to hear a variety of you know, what they're reading and their experiences are. Please join me next month when we discuss The Smell of Other People's Houses by local author Bonnie Sue Hitchcock. It's Alaska 1970. Growing up here is like nowhere else. Ruth wants to be remembered by her grieving mother. Dora wishes she was invisible to her abusive father. Alice is staying at home to please her parents. Hank is running away for the sake of his brothers. Four very different lives are about to become entangled, because if we don't save each other, how can we begin to save ourselves? So, sounds like fun. My guests will be Marianne Cockle and Melissa Benke. I also want to remind listeners that 89.7 is a community radio station that relies on support from listeners like you, so please take the time to visit our website, radiofreepalmer.org, and become a contributing or a sustaining member. This is Judy Getty with Radio Book Club. Happy reading.